For some weeks we have been considering Paul's letter to the Romans. If one can make any comparisons, one could argue that Romans is the most important letter that Paul wrote. One certainly is the one that spreads out most comprehensively and completely the gospel and explains the gospel clearly to us. And we have reached chapter 5. We've read the first 11 verses just now. And I'm going to read again verses 9, 10 and 11. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Life is full of uncertainties, isn't it? We were born in a stable family. Perhaps life seems very certain to begin with. There are always people there. Mum and dad are always there. And then as we grow older, we realise that their presence isn't certain. At one point, they'll make us stand on our own 2 feet anyway, and then eventually they'll be taken from us. We look at the political scene. Things are very unstable and uncertain, aren't they, at the present time, not only in our country, though obviously we focus perhaps mostly on that, but across the world there is great uncertainty and instability. And then there's also uncertainty in the Christian sphere. When we hear of, or perhaps even know ourselves, people who we thought were strong Christians, and they abandon their profession of faith. They walk away and say that they're not Christians any longer. And that might arouse troubling questions in our minds. Can I be justified today but condemned tomorrow? Can I be saved today but lost tomorrow? Now, if our salvation depends on ourselves, clearly the answer is yes. If it all depends on me, I can decide to take something up and I can decide to put it down again. I could decide to take up a hobby in train spotting, and next week I could decide that was the most boring hobby ever and abandon that hobby. But when it comes to the Christian faith, it's rather different. And Paul is addressing then this troubling concern that could arise when you hear of people, as there have been high-profile people in the Christian scene recently, who have abandoned any profession of faith. Paul is addressing these troubling questions that could arise in your minds. And he's answering those questions in these verses. And he wants us to see that our present justification is the guarantee of future glorification. As we look at verses 9 and 10, you'll see that he's saying similar things, just with a slightly different emphasis, but with the same outcome and the same effect, which he speaks of in verse 11. So let's begin by noting how he starts with the fact that his readers and he have been justified. Having now been justified, he said. This is something that has happened for Paul and for the Romans to whom he is writing. It's happened in the past. Well, when did it happen? When did it happen that they were justified? Well, Paul has told us back in verse 1. They were justified when they believed. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. When they believed the gospel, they were justified. They were counted righteous in the presence of God. That's what justified means, as we have considered previously. So that's, in a sense, that's a starting point for every one of us. Am I justified today? Have I come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation today? If you have been justified, Paul wants us in this verse, this ninth verse, to stop and think about how wonderful it is to have been justified. And so he doesn't so much refer to our faith as the underlying basis for our justification. He says we have been justified by his blood. I said on a previous occasion, we talk about being saved by faith, but it has to be faith in the right thing. Only this past week, I encountered a young lady, very sincere, who said she couldn't understand how people could get through life if they didn't have a faith. You've got to believe in something, whatever it might be. And it seemed as though it didn't really matter what it was you believed. But here, Paul makes plain that being justified by faith is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood that he shed upon the cross. Because here in verse 9, he is clearly referring to verse 8 as well, isn't he? Christ died for us. Therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. That blood that was shed at the cross has made us right with God. That blood has reconciled us. The price is paid, and we can now enter into God's presence. So for the believer, justification is something that happened in the past. It was obtained for us at the cross of Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago, and it is applied to us by faith in him. But having spoken of the past, Paul then speaks of the future. He says, having now been justified by his blood in the past, we shall be saved. And to understand what Paul is saying, we need to realize that the term salvation in the Bible is very comprehensive. It's all embracing. The Christian is someone who has been saved. He or she is someone who is being saved. And he or she is someone who will be saved. So when a person comes to faith in Christ, we can say, they have been saved. What we really mean is they are now in a state of justification. They have been saved. They have experienced that converting power of God, bringing them to new life. They have been saved from the guilt of sin. But that isn't the end, is it? When you're converted, that's just the beginning. And from then on, the Christian throughout his life is still being increasingly saved from the power of sin, from the pollution of sin, from the wiles of the evil one. We are still being saved. We're not fully there yet. And we therefore still look forward to the time when our salvation will be complete. And so that's why later in Romans, here in chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul says, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. There he's clearly speaking of the ultimate salvation in heaven. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. When we first believed, we could say we were saved, we were justified. But now Paul is looking forward. And so here he says we've been justified. That's in the past. So therefore we shall be saved. We look forward to that time when our bodies will be completely freed from sin and we shall be glorified. And you see how Paul is saying that it is because of one, but therefore the other. Because we have been justified, the believer can be sure of that final salvation. Look how he puts it. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, Paul has mentioned God's wrath several times before. In Romans chapter 2, for example, he speaks of the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So he's plainly speaking of judgment day when he speaks of wrath here in verse 9. We shall be saved on that final day when God's wrath, God's just anger, is poured out on this wicked world, when finally an account has to be made by every man and woman and young person who has ever lived. But Paul says, though, that the future judgment day should fill us with awe and wonder, yet for the Christian it should not fill us with dread. Because if we have been justified, Paul says, we can be much more sure of being saved on the last day. More sure than of our justification, almost, you see. You see, he's arguing from the greater to the lesser. Justification is our greatest blessing. For the judge to pronounce us righteous on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. And that happens in time when we come to faith in Christ. Well, having done that, it stands to reason that he will save us from his just wrath on judgment day. We shall be saved from wrath through Christ, because we've put our trust in Christ. His blood has been shed for us. We have been justified, and therefore we shall be saved in the fullest sense of that expression. If you have been justified, therefore, you have great ground for confidence. If you're still outside of Christ, if you still are wandering far away from God, then you need to be warned that there is a day of wrath coming. But if you are justified, you can look forward to being saved through Christ. Let's move on to verse 10, where he speaks of the effect of us having now been reconciled to God. He's, as I say, making much the same point in verse 10 as he did in verse 9, but making it even more powerfully. One writer, Martin Lloyd-Jones, puts it like this: whatever one may say about the love of God in Christ Jesus, there is always something more to be said. And so Paul here wants to bring out the fact that this justification, which is a legal sort of term that speaks of us now being accounted righteous and innocent and guiltless, also has combined with it much more of a family, a relational term, like reconciliation. And this is the wonderful thing that the gospel brings about. God and sinners are reconciled. And so, again, to look back at verse 1, we see how Paul has brought out there that having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we noticed last week that this reconciliation happened when we were enemies. Let's just glance back again and notice how Paul is continuing here to heap up phrases that underscore how impossible it was for us to save ourselves, or if you like, to reconcile ourselves to God. Verse 5, we were without strength. Beg your pardon. It's verse 6, we were without strength. Verse 6 again, we were ungodly. Verse 8, we were still sinners. And now here, an even stronger word in verse 10, we were enemies. But we have been reconciled, Paul says to his Christian readers. We have been reconciled through the death of the Son of God. It is nothing that we did. It was that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, it is true that we are called to repent and believe the gospel. But the gospel itself is the good news that God reconciles sinful people to himself. And so Paul says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it's all centered upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And again, he's arguing from the greater to the lesser. Again, he's using this much more phrase. Did you notice that cropping up again? He had it at the start of verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood. And again here in verse 10, having been reconciled, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If we've been reconciled to God in this life, if we are now friends with God, if God is friends with us, we can be certain that he won't abandon us on judgment day. We were reconciled to God when we ourselves were still in a state of enmity against God. But having been reconciled, we're God's dear children. So it stands to reason that we shall be saved on that final day. Paul says we shall be saved by his life. What does he mean by that expression? Well, he is referring to the fact that the death of the Lord Jesus was not the end. Again, glance back to the end of chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus, Paul writes there, was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. Jesus' resurrection life proves beyond any doubt that his death on the cross was a sufficient sacrifice for our sins. Our Saviour lives, and he intercedes for his people. Everything has been done for God's children. So one 19th century hymn writer, James Deck, put it like this: 'Tis finished on the cross, he said, in agonies and blood. 'Tis finished. Now he lives to plead before the throne of God.' The conclusion that you have to draw must be that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not just a free, but a certain salvation. A salvation that does not just provide us with a sense of God's favour now, but assures us of God's favour to all eternity. To reach any other conclusion would mean that you haven't really taken seriously, or else you haven't understood what happens when a person comes to real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is justified. He or she is declared righteous by Almighty God. And God's blessings and God's gifts are given without him ever revoking them. If you are justified, you can look forward to being glorified with absolute certainty. All other blessings flow from your justification through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I say, you can see that in verses 9 and 10, Paul is saying the same thing, using slightly different terminology to underscore just a slightly different emphasis, but with the same end result. Salvation is certain for those who are in Christ, justified by faith in him. Well then, what is the outcome? What is the response, if you like, to that? Well, we have that in verse 11. Verse 9, we've been justified. Verse 10, we've been reconciled. Verse 11, we rejoice. Notice how Paul is again using a phrase that he's used earlier in the chapter. Not only that, get it? In verse 3, where he spoke of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, and say, not only that, but we even rejoice and glory in tribulations, and so on. So here he says, again, not only that, something more must follow when we fully appreciate these things. It's not only that we just mentally register, okay, so I'm safe to all eternity. We need to stop and reflect on what it means to have been reconciled to God. It seems to me that true reconciliation happens all too rarely in human relationships. Often it feels easier just to walk away. It feels easier to say, it's better if we part. It feels easier, if you like, to just do what Abraham and Lot did. It's better if we go our separate ways. And they were two believers. Rebuilding a relationship is often fraught with mistrust on both sides, isn't it? There's vulnerability because we're again exposing ourselves perhaps to somebody who has hurt us in the past. Yes, even in human relationships, true, thoroughgoing, long-lasting reconciliation is all too rare. But when it really happens, it is a beautiful thing. So stop and think how amazing and how beautiful a thing it is that you, who were so hopelessly at enmity against God, should be reconciled to Him. Let's be quite clear, the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden was a catastrophe. It left us spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. It left us at enmity against God. And God would have been perfectly just and fair to have simply consigned the whole of humanity to hell. But God has given to His people reconciliation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. And so Paul says, in the light of this, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all through Him. We're saved from wrath through Him, verse 9. We were reconciled to God through His death, verse 10. And we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ here in verse 11. Not only are we sure of where we're going, but we rejoice at the prospect that lies ahead of us. The word translated rejoice here in the New King James Version, at least in verse 11, is the same, exactly the same Greek word as is translated glory in verse 3, where Paul is speaking of glorying, rejoicing, boasting in tribulations. It's the same word that, as I think we noted the other week, is in Galatians, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. We have nothing to boast in of ourselves, but there is every reason to rejoice and be glad when we think of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Well, let me sum it up very briefly. These wonderful blessings belong to the person who has been justified by faith. Stress again, Paul is writing to Christians in Rome. He's not writing to all of the citizens of the city of Rome. He's writing to those who are God's people in Rome. All who are in Rome who are called to be saints. These are the ones to whom he is writing. And he says of them, they have been justified by faith. The question for you and me is, am I justified by faith? Have I really, humbly come to the foot of the cross, put my trust in Jesus Christ alone, recognize that but for him I am lost and ruined? And without Christ, I have no hope for the future. But Paul here is now showing that the Christian, and the Christian alone, has a solid basis for hope about the future. People sometimes celebrate prematurely, don't they? You can think of how that often happens on the sports field. England celebrate that they get Australia out for only 179. And then they're all out for 67. A footballer celebrates that he's scored a goal. And then VAR demonstrates he was offside. And all of a sudden the celebration is overtaken by disappointment. But here Paul is saying, it's not too early. It's not premature to start rejoicing if you have been reconciled to God, because your eternal future is sure. Can you say that? My eternal future is sure because I'm trusting in Jesus alone. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we come before you just a group of people who, left to ourselves, would all of us be utterly lost and going to a lost eternity. And we want to confess before you that we could not save ourselves, that no good deeds that we could ever do could undo the fact that we have rebelled against you and against your law. But how we thank you for the riches of your grace in Jesus Christ. How we thank you that through him, through faith in him, through that precious shed blood that was poured out at Calvary, your people have justification, reconciliation, the sure hope of glorification, and every reason right now for exaltation. And we pray then that we might praise and worship you as we should, that we have such a glorious salvation in Jesus Christ, our glorious Saviour. Hear our prayers and receive our worship, we ask, in his name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing our last hymn, which is number 487. We're going to sing the alternative sixth verse. So when I've been there 1,000 years, instead of the original verse 6. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 487.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear.
Say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.